word says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles. Yeah.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
What we're doing tonight.
This is how I fight my battles.
Just when you think you're lost.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a great, great morning. My name is Michael Reese. I'm excited to welcome you here to worship at Asbury United Methodist Church, and looking forward to diving into a little bit more about Mr. Rogers and being able to be in service with him and following Jesus through the example of such an iconic person as Mr. Rogers. So excited to delve into that more with you today. I know that there's something in the service that is just ready to be implanted in you today as you go through your week. And I hope that as the service goes on, I hope you're able to just kind of sit back and to let the service come to you and see what that piece is and discern and love and grow and then go out and just do God's work here this week as we all move out together. Let's stand together and let's start with symphony, how we all fit together in our little pieces and parts.
It started out in Eden when he breathed into the dust of the ground, creating the sound of a heartbeat and the drumbeat to a song. It started out as a solo that crescendoed to the ends of the earth, and everyone heard the music God is making in us all. Oh, there's a melody in the love song to the God who made every soul to sing, every life to be, and the beauty in this world. So come on with all your heart, put your voice in and your life in the symphony. Hear it in the laughing of an orphan, the very first time looks in the eyes of the family. Feel it in the silence, in the worship of the church underground. They're singing without a sound, somehow. And now every breath you breathe is a melody in the love song to the God who made every soul to sing, every life to bring out the beauty in this world. So come on with all your heart, lift your voice and play your part. So sing with me of His majesty. Come on, just sing with me in this symphony. And now every breath we breathe is a melody in the love song to the God who made every soul to sing, every life to bring out the beauty in this world. So come on with all your heart, lift your voice and play your part. Oh, come on with all your heart, lift your voice and play your part in this symphony, this symphony, this symphony, this symphony.
Morning, singing Made New, a song that we've done a long time ago, but decided to bring it back today.
You're calling me over, you're pulling me close. With love, you surround me, you give me hope. You're taking me deeper, you're making me whole. With grace you redeem me, yeah, you restore my soul. Now I name you because of you, yeah. You hold my head up, you remind me who. You hold my head up, I'm alive in you again. I'm made new, I'm made new. You're making me stronger, you're healing my. with your hands you hold me in. You set me apart. Now I made new because of you. Yeah, you hold my hand up. You remind me who I am. You hold my hand up.
Continuing to tell the story of Mr. Rogers.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty world. A neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
Isn't this a beautiful day in the neighborhood? Yeah. Well, you may be seated. And it's a joy to be with you this morning. Just a moment. Be seated for a second now. So it's a joy to be together. We're in our third week of a sermon series about following Jesus with Mr. Rogers. We're thinking about the qualities of being a disciple, our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness. And today it's all about gifts. And so, if you would greet the people around you, welcome them, share signs of God's love and peace. I am not going to shake hands today, if you can kind of hear in my voice. I'm going to try to do this and fist bump or shoulder. But as you're comfortable, greet the folks around you, welcome them to worship, and share signs of God's love and peace.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Heather Doerr, and I would like to share with you a few announcements, a few ways that you could get connected here at Asbury and keep involved and give back. So I've got three things I'd like to highlight, the first of which is that tomorrow is our visioning event. I think we have a slide for that. Yeah. Vision casting event tomorrow, Monday, November 11th at 6:30 p.m. We'll be in the fellowship hall over here, And every year we have to do a charge conference. We do some business of electing officers, looking at our ministry spending plan, approving pieces of the pastoral salary and benefits, things like that. But really the focus this year, and the DS will be here to do all that, for those of you who are like, oh, we got to do it. But most of you are probably like, I don't know anything about a charge conference. So the important piece this year is our vision casting event. And so you're invited to come and to hear from Pastor Tom what God has placed on his heart for the future here at Asbury, to hear that, to be able to give feedback, or to be fed into an excitement of where Asbury is heading. So it starts at 6:30 tomorrow night. There will be childcare provided, and we want to make sure that all that is not an impediment to people coming to this vision casting event. Next slide. Life Touch is coming back to Asbury on November 25th and November 26th in the afternoon on that Monday and Tuesday. So if you're new with us, we had Life Touch come maybe 3 years ago and take photos of the congregation for a new updated pictorial directory. And part of that was that we get updates every so often. So if you have added to your family, if you have come to Asbury, or come back to Asbury and you'd like your picture taken for this, you'll get a photo as part of this, and you'll also get a pictorial directory so you can help make connections. So if you did not do one of the previous ones, or even if you did and you're like, I got a haircut, I got a nose job, I want to make sure people see me how I am. I don't know of anybody who got a nose job here. please come and get your picture taken so that when people look in the directory... That tickled some people, huh? When you look in the directory, then you could match faces with names. It makes a huge difference. Last thing that I wanted to lift up is the Starry Night. And so we've been talking about this. It's a big event coming on December 8th in the evening. And if you are looking for a place to get connected and to help with this event, I know Linda Carver is always looking for more people to help out. But one way that you can help out is if you get out your phone. I won't be offended if you do it now. You got a few minutes where I'll be talking, so get it out. If you haven't liked us on Facebook yet, please like Asbury UMC Bettendorf on Facebook. We always have information about things going on. But one thing is the event on Facebook. If you're a social media user, if you use Facebook, please share that event on your Facebook page. Send it via Messenger to people you know who might want to come and be part of it. This event is not for us here at this church, although we're going to have a lot of fun putting it on. It's really for the community, and it's a chance for people who are maybe not familiar with church or people looking to start a Christmas tradition. It's for the community to come, families to get a picture taken with their family, to walk through the building and experience the Christmas story as if they are journeying to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And then at the end of that time, they'll be invited to the fellowship hall to do crafts, and they'll have like little coin purses that they'll get to pay for each. Kids love that. They'll get to pay for each activity that they can do. And so it's a chance for them to experience the Christmas story, to have some take-homes, and to have a good, positive experience at a church. And so this is an event for our community that we're putting on. And what'll make a difference is the way that you reach out to people that you know and say, this is something worth coming to. This is a place that you want to be. Here's a comfortable and fun way to come to our church and experience what we're like. So please share that event on your Facebook page or personally invite people that you know that have families that might want to come and do this. And I'm going to be taking my 3-year-old through at the end of the night, so I'm very excited. So those are some of the ways to get connected. As always, I hope you look at the Did You Know section in the middle of the bulletin. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Tom for a second.
Some of you might have, or all of you should have received in the mail this week, the mailing that has information about the church coming up. We're getting ready for our annual stewardship campaign, where we invite people to consider their giving to the church in the coming year, 2020. If you didn't get one, there's some at both lobby entryways. In it was information about the church, the financial aspects of the different ministry funding areas of our church. There's a pledge card, an estimate of giving card for next year, and then an envelope. And you can receive that. Now, we're looking forward to next week being Consecration Sunday, where next week when you come, you notice the beautiful church that we have here. Next week when we do the passing of the peace time, if you want to actually bring your pledge card and your envelope and put it in here, you can put it in yourself during the passing of the peace next week when we consecrate our gifts. Or you can put in the offering plate when it comes by. I mean, we'll do that next week. But this week, the message, the theme is about giving and about gifts. And it's tied into our annual stewardship campaign. It's one of the ways in which we support the work of the church. In the last couple of weeks, we've been watching then some testimony, some witnessing that members of our church have shared about what the church means to them and the importance of giving through the church in order to continue God's work. And so this morning, it's the Henshins that we'll take a few minutes and watch their sharing their testimony now. If you want to dim the lights, maybe, Mike.
We moved here in 2014 after I finished my residency in Kansas City, and we were looking for a church to join. We got in touch with a couple of families, specifically the Hoshides were always so welcoming and pretty much adopted us as part of their family as well. It's another grandparents for Fiona and Alice here, and we just really enjoyed coming and being part of this family of Asbury.
It's been a special thing to see all the talent that we get to witness, you know, on a weekly basis with the choir and on kind of a periodic basis with community bands and things like that.
So when we first moved here, I started attending the pie making in the fall, and everyone there was always so welcoming to our family as well. I'm also involved in the Ladies in Fellowship Together, the LIFT group, and that's always a wonderful connection that we get to form with other members of the church.
So we think it's important to give and serve just because we can see the effects of everyone's contributions in this church. All the activities, especially for children to be a part of it all. We want, that's very important to us, just as we've got young children, so we want to definitely see that continue and help contribute what we can to make it special for our kids.
All right. So I grew up attending St. Luke's United Methodist Church in Dubuque, Iowa, and it was important for my family to always go to church every Sunday and to give. And now that we have a family of our own, it's important to continue those values that were instilled in us and give to Asbury as well.
Little baby Alice was baptized. So wasn't it great to have recent pictures of the family right here in our church as part of the ministry that this church has had on their lives? All right, at this time we're going to share some of our joys and concerns with one another. We're going to lift up those places where we're in need of prayer and we're in need of love, and also those places where we can celebrate and be joyous. As we start this time of joys and concerns, I would invite any of our veterans to stand up and be recognized. As we prepare for Veterans Day tomorrow, we are so thankful for those who are willing to give of themselves, those veterans, and we continue to pray for all veterans, whether they've been home for a little while or a long time, and maybe especially those who have had a difficult return after their service. Are there any others that would like to lift up a joy or a concern?
I'll start one. Michael Reese, good morning. I've been blessed in my life to have a number of parents or parental units, people that are like my own parents, that have been in my life to be there to love or to influence or whatever it may be. And two walked in the door this morning. I didn't know they were going to be here this morning, but Tom and Lynette Wall are over here. They are the parents of one of my colleagues at Central and just dear friends and lovely people, and I'm just so glad that they're here this morning.
This is Paul DeCamp. I'd like to ask for prayers. My father will be in, have a surgery this coming Thursday, and please keep him in your prayers.
Dan Miller. Prayers for my brother Mark, who just got admitted to hospice on Thursday, and for my sister Suzanne, who's his primary caregiver. Thanks. Mm.
Good morning, Jenny Bloomquist here. Depending on who you ask, it might be a joy or it might be a concern, but a couple weeks ago, my mom celebrated her retirement from Alcoa, 40 years, so.
Congratulations. All right, we're going to gather together those prayers that have been spoken aloud and those that we carry with us in our hearts. We're going to have a moment of silent reflection, and then I'm going to offer a prayer, and we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer as printed in your bulletin. Wonderful God, as we prepare our hearts to recognize veterans tomorrow, we thank you for those who are willing to give of themselves, those who are in service to our country. We thank you for their willingness, for their sacrifices. We pray that you bless them and care for them as they have cared for us and watched over us. We pray especially for those who have a difficult time transitioning back to their time after service, that you lift them up and guide them. And we pray that all veterans have a community of love and support. Wonderful God, we have all come with prayers on our hearts this morning. Difficulties that we've encountered and ways that we have risen up to praise you and celebrate. We thank you that no matter what we have encountered this past week, you have been beside us, caring for us and guiding us. We lift up to you especially those that have had a difficult time, those that we know and love who are struggling with transitions and changes. Those that are battling diseases of the heart and the mind and the body. We pray that your peace may be upon those who are preparing for death and those that are mourning the loss of life. Wonderful God, we thank you that no matter where we go, you walk beside us, guiding us and loving us. And we pray that you call to mind when we're in times of trouble, your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can pass around those attendance pads that I didn't reference earlier. You can go for it. It'd be wonderful if you registered your attendance with us so that we know who's here, we can best care for this congregation and help connect to new people. Our first scripture reading comes from the Gospel according to John. So John's account of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And we're looking in chapter 6. And I just wanted to provide just a tiny bit of context that at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus performed the miracle that he does in all four Gospels. He fed 5,000 people, providing them sustenance for their bodies, a miracle for this huge crowd. And then later on, you see the crowd gather around him again, and Jesus kind of calls them out, which I always enjoy when Jesus calls people out. And he said, "You're only here because you want more food. All that you're here for is to get fed." And so they share back to him. Their retort is that their ancestors ate the bread that fell from heaven. Their ancestors, the Israelites, while they were traveling through the wilderness, God provided them bread. And they reference Moses and this great sign. And Jesus said, the bread wasn't from Moses. That bread that they were given was from God. And then here in verse 35, he continues, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
On the screen, would you please pray with me? Lord God, everything that we have is a gift from you. Our lives, our blessings, our support systems, our health, our future. All that we are is because of who you are. We thank you for all that you have given us, we pray that we may be continuously thankful for how we have been blessed and be inspired to respond by blessing others. Amen.
As we come into your presence, we remember every blessing that you've poured out so freely from above. Lifting gratitude and praises for compassion so amazing. Lord, we've come to give you thanks for all you've done.
Our scripture reading for our second scripture is from the second letter to the Corinthians. So the Apostle Paul is writing to different churches to give them instruction, to make requests, to let them know how much he loves and misses them. And here we pick up in a section where he is writing to the church and he's asking for them to give generously. He's taking up a collection to send to the church in Jerusalem. And if you go back a couple verses, here's where you find that infamous passage that says, God loves a cheerful giver. So we're going to pick up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. He who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for life will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God.
I'm here to share that scripture reading just to preserve my voice just a bit. So we'll get through this together. I'll try to emphasize the main things I want you to hear and maybe cut out all the rest. And the people says, well, why don't you do that all the time? Which would be. So when we were growing up, we learned a prayer that our parents taught us when it's time to go to bed. How many of you know this one? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Now, what we learned as kids and what just came out naturally, if I should die before I wake, I bless the Lord, or I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, when we became parents and we were teaching our children, you know, you learn the routines and repeat that with them. And so we would tuck them into bed. And when we were saying the words as adults, if I should die before I wake, what? I don't want, I mean, that was worrying us. As far as, you know, we don't want the kids to think about, you know, dying. So we learned a little different version, or somehow we came across this that we like better. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Guard me, Jesus, through the night, and wake me with the morning light. Did you hear that okay? Guard me, Jesus, through the night, and wake me with the morning light. That sounded so much more comforting. That as parents, we could sleep with that thought. I mean, the whole point is that Jesus has got our back. And that for a child to go to sleep at night knowing no matter what, God loves you and cares for you and it's safe. I mean, you cannot sleep if you're worried or you're concerned or you're afraid. And so there's something about knowing God's love that enables us to relax, and we can really then go to sleep. So one of the things, I guess, that we're thinking about today is how to help children know of God's love so that they can rest and relax and sleep. But not just children, isn't it all of us? How we can all really know God's love and not be afraid of life or of death. And so we're in the middle of this series now with remembering what it means to be a mature disciple. Our strategy team has identified two areas where as a group, as a church, can become more healthy or healthier. One is developing a clear pathway to discipleship. And the other is ministry with children in our community. And so this sermon series is really combining the two. Think about discipleship, and we're each week now it's our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Those are vows that when we join the church, we vow to uphold the church by those five elements. So that's why each week has been one of those, and this week we're on gifts. And then second thing, ministry with children, who else ministers to children better than Mr. Rogers? And who else, what a better, I mean, how many better, well, what a great example of a mature Christian who lived out his faith and made a difference in the world. So that's why we're combining the two, and today we're going to talk about gifts and how God has given to us, primarily, first and foremost, his love, which is what we want to be sure that children know that as well. That will help them and help us sleep at night. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we do praise you for the good news of your love in Jesus. And we pray that as we open our hearts to your scriptures and to your word, that we would not only feel your presence and know your love, but we would also be strengthened to go forth and share that with the world that needs it so much as well. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds now to the word that you would have for us. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first scripture that Pastor Heather read this morning was Jesus, right after he had performed that miracle of feeding thousands of people literal food. And as Heather pointed out, you know, people were, you know, interested in that, and it was a miracle that Jesus performed, and it literally took care of people's physical hunger, their needs. Jesus was all about that. Caring for people's physical well-being. He provided for them food. Now, he also says that as the people here are following Jesus, wanting to know more, Jesus recognizes you're here because of the food that you ate, the literal food. And the references about the manna that God had provided to the Moses and the Israelites escaping Egypt. I mean, Jesus is trying to say, I mean, both God provides for our literal sustenance, our food of bread, but Jesus was also trying to help them see there's a greater need that God fulfills. And so he says, you came because of physical food, but he says, I am the living bread. That if you eat this bread, you'll never be hungry again. And if you believe in what I say, you'll never be thirsty again. Again, what he was talking about was not a physical hunger or thirst. It was something else. Do you know what that is? I mean, isn't there something in us that we're maybe always wanting more or wanting safety or wanting something that will satisfy us in our lives? And Jesus knew that, God does or man does not live by bread alone. There's more to life than just our physical needs. Jesus cared for them, but he also knew that's not all that will satisfy who we are as human beings. And so he said, if you live for just that physical bread, you'll always be hungry. You'll always want more. It'll never be enough. But the bread that he offers as the bread of life will satisfy you so that you'll never be hungry again or yearning or longing for something else, something more, something else. You know, last week I was really cool. I went to see the play at Pleasant Valley about Carrie. It was a musical, Carrie. It was an interesting play. It was somewhat controversial, but it was about, a big topic of it was bullying. And a topic that kids live with today. And one of the songs that the kids sang was about what it's like to be in high school. And one of the words that stood out was the kids are singing about, you know, living in high school and how important it is to fit in to the crowd. And the words actually were, life doesn't begin until you're in. And then that somehow, you know, sometimes the pressures on young people can be that way. You're not really satisfied until you're in the in crowd. Tell other people you're popular and so on. Now, that's the way it often is in the world, but Jesus would have addressed that by saying, you're never going to be in enough. I mean, that's one example of where there's always be somebody who's more popular or who's better than you. And if you take your value from what other people think of you, you're always in danger of them changing their minds or trying to meet their expectations. I mean, what Jesus was saying, life really begins when you connect with God. Jesus would say, you know, when you were born again, you start a new life, a connection with God from on high, that nothing can ever take away from you. And that even if you're physically hungry or do without some of the physical things in this world or the sufferings, the hardships that are oftentimes a part of life, we can still have that peace of knowing that we're safe, we're cared for, we're loved, and we can face every day. I mean, so part of what Jesus was saying, you know, I have the living bread of which you eat of this, you'll never have that yearning, that longing, that desire for something else. I mean, we're talking about kids and, you know, being in, but it's true for adults as well. How many adults just want the next job or the next promotion or the next money or whatever it is where they're never truly satisfied with God, with what God has already given to them? Now, part of what Jesus also says about the bread that he gives, the living bread, but it's also an eternal bread. I mean, it's an eternal life. It's a life that is both for this world, but also a life that even death can't take away from us. I mean, that's one of the things that is comforting about, you know, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take, I'll still be safe. I mean, probably one of the most universal fears that we have as human beings is the end of our life as we know it. And I know sometimes churches will use that as an evangelistic technique or motivation, but beginning with the thought about you're going to die and go to hell. And it's almost like beginning with a fearfulness of God's judgment upon us and almost scare people sometimes into accepting Christ as a Savior just so that won't experience, you know, that hell, damnation, and fire of God. And I guess to me that's almost like basing something on fear rather than on God's love and goodness. That why not start with where you want to end up? Instead of starting with hell and damnation, start with heaven and a life with God. And the realization that is so good, and that's what is the living bread that will satisfy us, that even death cannot take away. You see, that's one of the things I do believe is what we offer as followers of Jesus, is that people do not need to fear death. You know, even our founder, John Wesley, as a young man, he had it all here. He knew all about God. He knew all about Jesus. He knew about the Bible. He was a scholar. He was committed. He was a son of a preacher. And he felt called to be a missionary to the colonies, the Native Americans and the settlers here in Georgia. This would be like 1738. So it's, you know, long before the Revolutionary War, before the America became separate as a nation. And so John Wesley, you know, to get here, though, if you think it's scary flying on a plane, try being on a boat for a month out in an ocean with that at the mercy of the waves and the sea and so on. And knowing if something happens, you're just there. Well, during the trip over, there was a time John Wesley was on the boat and with other English folks, but there were also some German Christians of the Moravian faith, the Moravians. And they were also coming over to start a new society, new mission work in the colonies. And at times during the trip, the ocean waves, or the storms came up. The waves crashed over the side of the boat. The boat is, you know, you can imagine in the midst of all that. And John Wesley would write in his journal, And this is on board the Simmons. That was the name of the boat. And John Wesley wrote all these things down. That's why I've got a good record of them. But he said there was a storm that broke out, and a group of Moravian missionaries were there on the ship as well. And when the storms, like water, came over the side and it was over the boat and stuff like that, he said that the English started screaming, but the Germans looked up and without intermission calmly sang on. And I asked one of them afterwards, "Were you not afraid?" And he answered, "I thank God, no." I asked, "But were you not, or but were not your women and children afraid?" And he replied mildly, "No, our women and children are not afraid to die." Now that bothered John Wesley because he was afraid to die. And he knew it in his heart, his soul. He came to Georgia where he was a missionary there, and literally he was a failure. I mean, he was this prim and proper English fella, and this was the West, wild, you know, colonies and pretty rough lifestyle. He just did not fit in. And he went back to England again as a failure. And on the way back, same thing. On the boat, he was afraid at times. He was afraid to die, and he knew it, and that bothered him. But one day in May 1738, he was at a Bible study. Somebody's reading from the preface to the book of Romans that Martin Luther had written. And John Wesley says he felt his heart strangely warmed. He wrote in his journal that, "I believe Christ died for me, and that my sins were forgiven." And in that moment, all the things that he knew in his head now also touched him in his heart. And he realized it was a personal, emotional connection that he knew he was loved, he was forgiven, he was okay no matter what. It's interesting, he didn't write in his journal, "I was at the prayer service and I had this great idea." He said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." And many people look back historically that the Methodist movement that he helped to found wasn't just, it was that combination of here and here. What he knew with his head, but also what he felt within his heart. And what he felt was God's love and God's forgiveness. And now, as his life went on, he had ongoing life, you know, ups and downs, lived to be an old man. Started the Methodist movement both in England and eventually became here in the United States as well. But on his deathbed, when he went, his very last words were, "Best of all, God is with us." And he was not afraid to die. Now, as we're talking about the vision of our church and where we want to be, I want to cast tomorrow, think about that we'd be a people where we are so assured of God's love in our hearts that we're not afraid to die. And even more importantly, that means we're not afraid to live. You know, sometimes churches also, and Christian folks might have such a picture about heaven, it'll be so great after we die, and a lot of their evangelistic energy is to get people into heaven. And I want to suggest heaven's taken care of. We don't have to worry about heaven. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Jesus sent us to save the world, not to save heaven. And so our task, I believe, is to let people know of the love of God and that they don't have to be afraid to die when they have and trust Jesus as their Lord, their Savior. They believe the message that Jesus brought. But any teaching that we have about heaven or the next life ought to, in my opinion, make this life more important and not less. In other words, sometimes I've even heard Christian songs that talk about, "Oh, heaven will be so great, and I can't wait till I get there, and this world is no good, and there's nothing else." This world is good. God created this world and said, it is good. Our task is to enjoy this world and make the most of it, knowing that we can sleep at night, that no matter what happens, even the worst, even if we die, we'll still be okay, that we can rest and invest ourselves in this world. You know, sometimes people might think it's morbid, but, you know, pastors, there's a story of, for us to think about our mortality. So there's an interesting way to think about yourself. Are you afraid to die? And to be honest about that. And to realize that God's grace and love in your heart can assure you that no matter what, God will be with you. And you don't have to be afraid of death or of life or of anything else that you face. There is a joke about the pastor one time telling one of the elderly folks in the church that, you know, you ought to spend more time thinking about the hereafter And they said, well, Reverend, I do that all the time. I go upstairs, I go down the basement, and I say to myself, now what am I here after? So the message that Jesus says is to give the bread of life. And the outcome will be people who are not afraid, even to die. But even more important, not afraid to live, and then to serve and to make the most of this world. Now again, when Jesus said, I am the bread of life who came down from heaven, or when he said, I am the bread of life who came down from heaven, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Whoever believes in me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you believe that? Because if you do, that's one of the most important messages that we want to give to the world. Now, I want to now give you an example of Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers cared about children. He cared that they feel safe, that they feel loved. And because of that, then they could face whatever it is that they would need to face in the world. And I want to show you a clip of a time when he had to testify before Congress because they were looking at funding for public television. $20 million were coming before the congressional funding, and the main senator is kind of like not at all in favor of spending this money. It was Mr. Rogers who had a chance to talk to that, and I want you to listen for what he says about children and about trust, about his love for children, how to deal with feelings. But notice then the reaction. I mean, Mr. Rogers had his message, but he also knew to get it out, we've got to have an organization. We've got to have some way, a funding mechanism and program by ways that we can get this word out to folks. Let's watch what Mr. Rogers said.
The beginnings of PBS was going to probably be dismantled by Richard Nixon, whose approach to media was to threaten stations if they didn't behave politically.
Nixon had a problem with his budget. He had to find money for the Vietnam War. It wasn't a lot of money in today's terms, but he wanted to cut the budget.
In the midst of all this, Fred Rogers gets to go before Congress, argue for $20 million of funding to sort of solidify PBS in front of John Pastore, who's the senator who had already sort of made his congressional bones by attacking television.
This is going to be a thorough hearing. This is going to be a hearing not to reach for a headline, but to reach for a result.
There have been 2 days of hearings, and he hasn't been very impressed. If you've been watching those hearings and you had to bet on whether or not PBS was going to keep going, no.
That educational television should permanently struggle for subsistence is intolerable.
All right, who's the next witness?
Senator Pastore told the group, I've heard everybody read your testimonies. I don't want anyone to read anymore. I'm tired of hearing the reading. When I heard about that, I thought, uh-oh, Fred.
All right, Rogers, you got the floor.
And I could hear in his voice the nerves.
Senator Pastore, this is a philosophical statement and would take about 10 minutes to read, so I'll not do that. One of the first things that a child learns in a healthy family is trust, and I trust what you have said, that you will read this. It's very important to me. I care deeply about children. My first children...
Will it make you happy if you read it?
I'd just like to talk about it, if it's all right.
All right, sir.
This is what I give. I give an expression of care every day to each child to help him realize that he is unique. I end the program by saying, you've made this day a special day by just your being you. There's no person in the whole world like you, and I like you just the way you are. And I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service. Could I tell you the words of one of the songs which I feel is very important?
Yes.
This has to do with that good feeling of control, which I feel that the children need to know is there. And it starts out, what do you do with the mad that you feel? And that first line came straight from a child. I work with children, doing puppets in very personal communication with small groups. What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite? When the whole wide world seems oh so wrong and nothing you do seems very right. It's great to be able to stop when you've planned a thing that's wrong and be able to do something else instead and think this song. I can stop when I want to, can stop when I wish, can stop, stop, stop anytime. Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
Okay, so here's the point. Mr. Rogers believed in children, the importance of getting that message. And PBS, at that point, was the mechanism by which he was going to get it. If you believe that the message of Jesus is the living bread, that's the first thing that we want to share that in our lives with our kids, our families. But also, I share with you, I believe the church is the best way to make that happen, not only for our kids, but people who will come after us. And so sharing of our gifts, all of our gifts, including our financial gifts, is part of how we can also keep that message going and offer to our children the good news of Jesus so that they will never be afraid. And even as adults, we have that within our hearts as well, that we not fear death, we not fear life, and we can make a difference in this world. At this time, our band is going to come forward. I'm going to pray. We'll give a chance to offer your tithes and offerings for today. Next week, a reminder, our consecration Sunday. You're invited to bring back the pledge cards and the estimate of giving for 2020. And you can place those in the offering or in the little church here next week as we continue our worship then. But pray with me while the band is coming, and then we'll share our tithes and offerings. Gracious God, we thank you for the good news of your love for us in Jesus. As simple as a childhood prayer that enables us to sleep at night, let that faith, that good news, know that as we are connected to the living bread, that we never will fear and will never go spiritually hungry or thirsty ever again. And we can truly enjoy and make the most of this life as we serve you, serve others, and give of the gifts that you've given to us. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Because of what you've done, Our youngest daughter, at the age of 7, was in a life-threatening accident. And I remember one of the members of the church looked down at her and said, you know, because she had survived and she was safe and she was well. But at 7 years old, I remember the member of the church looking at her and said, "You should be dead, but God saved you." And I'm like, "Don't say that to a 7-year-old. So that stayed within her heart, her mind, and she got through it and stuff. But I remember then when we would say our prayers at night, and that would always be our time together. But one night she says, "Daddy, I know I got to die sometime, but I don't want to." I was like, "Sweetheart, we don't have to worry about that for long." I mean, I'm inside like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." We have to worry about that for a long time. And besides, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Even in, you know, you'll be all right no matter what. That little girl now is in Southeast Asia. She's like fearless. She's trying to, you know, live her life, but I think she inspires me about not being afraid, not only of death, but about life and the challenges that we face before us, because Jesus says, "I'm yours, I'm with you," and the best of all is God is with us. We can face anything. We don't have to be afraid. So would you stand and receive now these words of blessing? God has indeed given you more than you could ever believe. Your assignment this week is to take inventory of all the blessings, the gifts that you have received. And then to think how you will continue the giving, both through the church, but also through all the ways in which God will call you to use your gifts to share God's love with others. For the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit goes with you now and always. Amen.
You gave me life and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now that you have saved me. Lord, I give all that I am to you, that every day I can be a light that shines your name. Every day it's you I'll live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. Every day, it's you I live for. Every day, I'll follow after you. Every day, I'll walk with you, my Lord. I'll walk with you, my Lord. I'll walk with you, my Lord.
Have an awesome week. We'll see you next.